Morning, people.
Morning.
Good to see y'all. Glad you're here today to be a part of our worshiping community. We have a special day today. We're doing a confirmation of one of our young people. We'll conclude the service with Holy Communion. If you're visiting our church today and you're not a member nor a United Methodist, you're welcome to come. Hope that you will at the end of our service. Let me just remind you, Finance Committee meets tomorrow night at 6:30. Listen, the service may go over a few minutes today. You know, sometimes we get out early, sometimes we get out a few minutes late. It all averages out, but I promise to have you on your way by lunch, whenever lunch is for you. No, it won't be that long. Any other announcements for the common good? All right, let's join together in prayer. Dear God, we're grateful to be here today, thankful for a chance to come again with our friends and lift our hearts up to you, to reconnect with you, to get up to date with you and our relationship. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and be with us, inspire us, encourage us, and challenge us to be your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to pray. Any prayer concerns that you have that you want to share? One of our faithful attenders, Miss Tommy Ashley, fell early this week and was hospitalized. I don't know this for sure, but as far as I know, she's in rehab for the next couple of weeks. Y'all know Tommy? Many of y'all do. Anybody else you want to pray for? Emily Norwood. Nancy, Linda Martin, who? Okay, Scott, Tom Pilkerton, Jerry, anybody else? All right, may we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your many gifts to us. We come today feeling in our hearts, saying with our lips, we love you, we adore you, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, we're truly sorry for things that we've done that don't reflect our love for you. For however we may have sinned, we ask forgiveness if we haven't already. Thank you that your grace is unending and that we're told so many times in the Bible that if we truly confess our sins and do our best to walk away from them, you're always faithful and just to forgive us. So thank you. Father, hear our prayers for all the folks that were mentioned and those that weren't. We join our prayers in love, reaching out on behalf of Tommy, Emily, Linda, Scott, Tom, Jerry, and others. Heal them, bless them, we pray. Father, finally, we pray for ourselves. We come to church not because we have all the answers or think we have it all figured out, but our great need of you brings us here over and over again, hoping to be reminded that our lives truly matter. Hoping to be reminded that you love us. Hoping to be reminded that there's something we can do that can make a difference in the world for others. We come in our weakness. We come in our questions. We come hoping for inspiration, for challenges, to help us to be our best selves as your people. So may your Holy Spirit do that for us as we open ourselves to you today. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We're going to continue our worship by receiving our morning offering. Thank you for giving to God through our church as we continue to serve him. So today we are going to confirm Sawyer Prater, who's the son of Jimmy and Crystal. So let me invite them to come on up and stand over here. Sawyer, if whatever family members want to come. Confirmation this year started back in January when Chris was still the pastor here. So Chris started it. And along the way, after Chris left, Kim Broadhead graciously stepped in. I don't know if y'all know Kim. She's a, by profession, a school teacher. But she's also a very gifted one as well. And so she stepped in. I taught a few lessons. Sandy Watkins was there throughout supporting. So we're going to confirm Sawyer. And let me invite Kim to come up here and stand with me. So we're going to do this right here, right? And then we'll kneel it over here. Okay. So follow along. And let me get you the baptismal font. So, in the Methodist tradition, we confirm children. We practice infant baptism, where parents can bring their children and they're baptized as infants if they choose to do that. The parents take all the vows. Will you raise this child in a Christian home? Will you do your best to live an example after the example of Christ? And so, at some point in time, these children, of course, as they grow older, are given a chance to reaffirm those vows that were made for them, to confirm them. And so we, along with other mainline churches like Episcopalians, Presbyterians, we're from that tradition of faith that believe in infant baptism. And so in Sawyer's case, when he was around 9, he confessed faith in Christ, right, and was baptized. And so we're going to affirm those vows and receive him as a member of our church today. So follow along with me up on the screen. And at the very end, there'll be a chance for you to say the words as the congregation, because this is as much for us as it is for him. So let us begin. The church is of God and will be preserved to the end of time, for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments and edification of believers and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which it alone supplies. So I'm going to ask Sawyer these questions. Sawyer, do you in the presence of God and this congregation today, do you renew the vows and promises that you made at your baptism? Do you truly repent of your sins? Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament? Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you promise, God being your helper, to keep God's holy will and live as a follower of Jesus Christ for the rest of your life? Will you be loyal to the church and uphold it with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? Okay. Let's move over to the altar rail. Come on up, Kim. And y'all come on over. There'll be a chance here in a minute for y'all to lay hands on Sawyer. We're not rebaptizing Sawyer. We are asking him to remember his baptism. Sawyer, if you'll hold your head up, it's a long way down there. Remember your baptism and be grateful. As best we can, let's lay our hands on Sawyer. Sawyer, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Holy Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true believers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can stand. Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care this person, Sawyer Prater, whom we this day receive into the membership of our congregation. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. Let us join together. We rejoice to recognize you as a member of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of Lakeview Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. We will so order our lives after the example of Christ that, surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Amen. So we are going to present Sawyer with his very own Bible. Hope that you'll first of all read it, as we all need to do, and that you'll find great strength and help from it in the days and years to come. And we also give him, I guess it's called a medallion, a Christian medallion, that has on there that words from Ephesians chapter 6 that you can keep as well. So let's give Sawyer a round of applause. We'll be having a reception for Sawyer after the service with his family. After the service, feel free to come up and extend the right hand of fellowship to Sawyer. Thank you all. Y'all may return to your seats. Thank you for taking part. Thanks for all you did. Children may be dismissed at this time to go to children's church. I have a short, very short message, a communion meditation, as we prepare to receive the elements of communion. I want to read from the second book of Timothy in the New Testament. If you have your Bibles and want to turn there, or they'll be flashed up on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses ahead of this, and then I'll read this word. So Paul's writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy, and part of his words to him is, Timothy, but for you, continue in what you've learned and what you have become convinced of, because you know from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then these words: all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so, going through confirmation class, it's a good reminder that the basics matter. We have these confirmation books, and I've forgotten how many chapters it has, but, you know, it's a sort of a short version of the Christian faith from A to Z. trying to expose our young people who go through it, that the basics are important. Because the basics serve as a foundation for everything else in the Christian life. One of the lessons that we looked at was on the Bible. What it is, what it's not, how it came to be, and the hope that those going through confirmation, both teachers and leaders and also students, will want to make the Bible an important part of our life. I received my very first Bible, which I have right here with my name on the front, when I entered the third grade. It was given to me by my local congregation, Northwood Methodist Church in Florence, Alabama. I'll tell you a little secret. Growing up, I was not called Audie. I'm a third. So my grandfather, my father, my name, Audie Calvin Hodges the Third. And so my family gave me the nickname. I know I don't look like a butch, but that was my nickname. And so those are the words on the front of my Bible, Butch Hodges. Now, nobody calls me Butch except my older brother and my older sister, which is all that's left of my original family of origin. So I got it, my first Bible then. King James Version, of course. That's all anybody read back then. Back in the 1950s. 1959, to be exact. June 28th, 1959. I wish I could say I just devoured it, that I read it, that I never missed a day. But that's not true. The Bible remained a mystery to me. But you can bet that my parents didn't throw away this Bible. And that when my last parent died, I found this in my father's library. And of course, I brought it home. My next exposure to the Bible was when I was 21 years old, when I came to faith in Christ. The guy that led me to Christ gave me this little New Testament. And on the fly leaf, he had the verse 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And I read this one, and I've kept it. And there have been many, many other Bibles across the way. Catherine Koob, K-O-O-B, in her fascinating book, Guest of the Revolution, recounts her experiences as a hostage following the violent takeover by Iranian students back in 1979. When those students took over the embassy, the American embassy. She tells about in the mess of being taken from her home that she didn't have time to take anything, including her Bible that meant so much to her. And so when she was held in captivity for those 444 days, a large part of it, she had to rely as a devout Christian on verses that she had committed to memory when she went through a Lutheran confirmation class as a child. In the book, she also tells of the day when one of the students opened her door and an arm came sticking through with a book in it. And the voice behind the door said, "Does anyone want a Bible? Would anyone like a Bible?" And before her Iranian captor had a chance to repeat the question, she answered with tears in her eyes, "Yes, yes, I want that Bible." And so a Bible was shoved into her hand that she kept with her, that she had wrapped in rubber bands when she finally was released and came off the plane when it came to America, and she was free. Does anyone want a Bible? Why did I, as a 9-year-old child, why did Catherine Coob? Why is the Bible still, year after year, on the best-selling list? And supposedly, why is the Bible the most stolen book from public libraries? Isn't that crazy? I bet some of you had in your home growing up one of those big, huge family Bibles. My take on that is that some zealous college students went door to door in the late 50s and early 60s and said, they were just master salesmen, and said, I can't believe that you wouldn't buy the Holy Bible. And so all across the Deep South, so many of these huge Bibles that you would almost strain a muscle to carry were sold in the homes. We had one growing up. And inside, you could open to the first page, and it had room to put your whole family tree going back 50 generations. It was so big, people didn't read it, but they used it for other practical matters. Like, you know, important things like pressing flowers and four-leaf clovers. It was kind of used as sort of a filing cabinet, you know, filing important photos and other memorabilia away, things you didn't want to lose. You didn't read it, but you knew where everything was. Across the years, I have seen those family Bibles in many homes, and I have seen them used in very interesting ways. I went into a home one time, and we were visiting, and I noticed that going into the dining room, they were using one of those big old Bibles as a doorstop. The Bible should open doors for us, shouldn't it? In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25, this is just a quick example. Paul writes, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. Those who have been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." Where else do we find words like that? We need those words to remind us that none of our human systems, no matter how high tech, have the power to save us. We need to be reminded that all of our wealth and material possessions don't have the power to convey happiness to us. That only God and ourselves can do that. I went in another home and remember seeing one time the Bible being used as a booster chair for a small child. The Bible should boost us, shouldn't it? It happens so often for those who make the Bible a regular part of their lives. The Bible is so full of so many wonderful words that speak to us and boost us in all of the challenges that we find ourselves in life. I don't know how many times I have quoted to myself over and over again, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me." When facing a challenge, when standing up to preach, and in those moments before I stand up, when I'd just kind of rather go home and not do it. I'd rather not just kind of bare my soul. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. In times of doubt and uncertainty, I've quoted Philippians 4:19. But I know that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I mean, those are words that once you see them, you can't unsee them. Even if you wanted to. They are words of life. They are words that we need. Who of us in facing challenges, in facing the challenge of losing a loved one, haven't turned to the wonderful words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, Lord, are with me. And then, I guess, to beat it all, the oddest thing I've ever seen the big Bible used for was one Christmas season I was visiting in the home of some friends, and they had a live Christmas tree. When I say live, a cut one, not artificial. And this was back in the time when those Christmas tree holders weren't all that sturdy at times. And they had it in the corner where the walls came together, and they had the big Bible propping it up. And they said, "Don't touch it. It might fall." But they were using the Bible to help keep their Christmas tree straight. That's just yet one more thing the Bible does for us. It helps us walk straight and stand tall when we need to. I love those words from the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Beginning at verse 28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even young people grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." Does anyone want a Bible? Man, I do. Ever since I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior as a 21-year-old young man, I've needed it. I've not read it every day. There have been sections of my life where I haven't read it as much as I wished I have. But I'm trying to make up for lost time. You know, one benefit to being a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a small group leader in church is that you're forced by your vocation, your calling, to read the Bible. And I've needed that at times in my life. I've needed to be reminded, hey man, Sunday's coming. You got to get with it. And when I have done that and opened the Bible and read the verses in preparation, it has meant so much to me over the years, as it will to all of us. So, amen. So we're going to move into communion right now and follow along in the ritual, if you will. Respond where you can. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night that he was betrayed and arrested, Jesus had a final supper with his disciples. At the end of the supper, he took common bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and basically said, you don't understand what I'm doing, but one day you will. When you receive this, when you're together, after I'm gone, remember I'm with you always. I love you. And remember, this is my body given for you in remembrance of me. Likewise, we read after the supper, Jesus took the common cup of wine. Then we use grape juice. Its very color reminds us of a deep blood. He passed this around to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. Do it in remembrance of me. Dear Father, we bless these elements of bread and wine. May they be for us as we come today to receive the sacrament. May they be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we might be his people, redeemed by his blood. Amen. So let me invite those who are going to be serving to come on up, and we'll be served, and then we will serve the congregation. And together and sing a song that we don't have the words up on the screen, but I bet some of you folks know this song from memory. We call it the doxology. It's most often sung in churches as you present the offering, but today we're going to sing it as our song of benediction. Jesse's going to lead us in singing the words. So here we go. Hope you have a great day.